With electric cars, consumers can have range anxiety. Will the car run out of battery? With medical devices, there's also a barrier to entry for most patients. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks tech with an expert in diabetes, specifically, and new medical technology in general. And that starts now.
Hello and welcome back. About 10% of America's population either has or is leaning towards diabetes, either type 1 or type 2. That said, physical devices that monitor and share data with doctors, as well as patients, are seeing huge advancements. So why aren't they being prescribed more?
Unfortunately, they have remained uncovered by insurance companies for a long time until very recently. And now we're getting a lot more traction that they have truly become standard of care.
Medical technology is historically innovative, and the leaps forward, thanks to smarter technology, smaller form factors, and better sharing capabilities, patients now stand to benefit in ways not seen before. Getting more diabetes devices into a patient's care starts now. Here we go. Dr. Adi, among your many bona fides, you are a pediatric endocrinologist specializing in managing type 1 diabetes in children, and we're going to get there for sure, but I'd like to talk to you first about the medical device innovations that's happening. It's kind of a hot space. I see a lot of investment in med tech as well. What are you seeing from your perspective?
Absolutely. I think the past 10 years have been tremendous, and particularly in the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen a lot of advancement in the technology helping people with diabetes in general. And the technology is really divided up into two different ways. One is monitoring blood glucose, and then the other area is delivering insulin. What we're going to see in the next couple of years is further advancement in connecting the two devices together with an insulin pump that delivers the insulin, responding to a continuous glucose monitor that basically is monitoring blood glucose every 5 minutes and telling the insulin pump what to do with the insulin.
That sounds like a virtuous cycle. What do these physical devices look like?
Look more like an old pager, and they're advancing to become even more miniaturized. So an insulin pump would be something, think of it like the half size of a smartphone with a touch screen. And then the continuous glucose monitoring, what we actually refer to as CGM, or continuous glucose monitors, those devices are getting smaller and smaller, and they really look like almost a 1-inch by 1/2-inch device that gets stuck on the skin, and it gets taped on there, and it stays on for up to 10 days most recently, monitoring blood glucose every 5 minutes automatically.
Dr. Adi, how do doctors find out about this? I know I have to do a lot of digging for my show if I want to do research into new medical technology devices, even if they're in beta. How do doctors in general, I'm asking anecdotally, how do practitioners find out about what their new options might be?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it really varies a lot, and most of us go to annual meetings that specialize in technology and diabetes, we learn more about those devices. But also importantly, I think the specific interest in technology, and this unfortunately is not something that is widely spread among practitioners, and particularly those who do not specialize in diabetes, they really don't know much about it, and I think this is where an area that can be improved a lot, particularly at months like this during the November awareness, Diabetes Awareness Month, where we try to actually spread the word and teach everyone more about what's the latest in diabetes.
Right, exactly. I was going to ask, like, an educational program and effort, and you guys are leveraging this month for awareness. Do you get emails in your inbox from companies that are developing things like, hey, doc, check out this new tech. What do you think? Do you ever see that stuff, or does it just go to staff?
That usually goes to staff, but I actually stay on top of it. I have a particular interest in technology, diabetes, from a personal point of view, this is my area of research, as well as I believe in technology for managing diabetes. We push hard for our patients to use the technology as much as they can and teach them how to use it. And in order to do that, we have to learn about it and really be on top of it.
When I think about other technology areas, and I'm going to use electric cars, as an example. One of the barriers to entry for electric cars has always been range anxiety. Am I going to be able to get home after I take my electric car where I'm going? What is there any anxiety, or what is the barrier to entry for medical technological devices, specifically maybe the one you're talking about for type 1 treatment?
I think for type 1 treatment, particularly the continuous glucose monitors, the biggest barrier has been insurance coverage. And these are devices that are life-changing and really life-saving in many ways, and have changed the way we manage diabetes in children and in adults, both type 1 and type 2 diabetes. And unfortunately, they have remained uncovered by insurance companies for a long time until very recently. And now we're getting a lot more traction that they have truly become standard of care for diabetes.
Oh, I see.
Most insurance companies, yeah.
What about prescriptions from doctors for this device, or any really? Let's talk about this device, of course, but you know, just in general, also medical technical devices. Are you seeing an uptick in that because of the acceptance by the insurance companies, or is it just because also maybe awareness of the availability?
I think it's both. The awareness of the availability, as well as the advocacy that some of those companies that make those devices are playing a major role in getting insurance companies to adopt and support those devices, as well as government agencies and government insurance doing that. And I specifically would mention the company that makes the best glucose monitor out there, Dexcom, that have played a major role in the advocacy and working with us and the government agencies to make sure that the coverage is provided.
I realize now I probably should have asked a question right off the top, and I'll ask you now. How many patients could be impacted by this technology, type 1 and type 2 diabetes treatment?
I would say everyone with diabetes, and that's an estimated about 30 million people in the United States alone, not to mention the rest of the world.
That's almost 10% of the American population.
That's almost 10% of the American population, exactly.
Amazing. Dr. Adi, thank you again for your time this morning. I hope we can stay in touch and talk about more med tech in the future.
Absolutely. Give me a call anytime.
Okay, thanks. Have a good morning, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Sala Adi. Dr. Adi is a pediatric endocrinologist specializing in managing type 1 diabetes in children. He is founder of the Madison Clinic at the University of California, San Francisco, a state-of-the-art center for pediatric diabetes. For links to Dr. Adi's clinic, his other work, and all of our sourcing for this story, please check out the show notes online for this week's show at kgoradio.com. We're also online at facebook.com/techonomicsradio, and I'm on Twitter at kgojason. Coming up after this break, we get all historical, as in America's historical landmarks, and helping to keep our American story intact and up to date for a growing audience. That's next, so do please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.